Just a word, first of all, about that passage from the Philippians, which has been used from time, a long, long time ago, that this is proof that Jesus was divine. That's wrong, and contemporary scholarship has righted that thing. Paul's favorite description of Jesus was the new Adam. He kept talking about the new creation, and Jesus is the new Adam. And that's what that little hymn is about, Jesus as the new Adam. Jesus is in the form of God the way all of us are created in the form of God, if you read the Genesis account. The only difference between us and Jesus is that he never lied. Jesus told the truth all the time, and even on the verge of his death, he refused to lie again. So that's why he was killed. The truth tellers are always killed. Mohandas Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Oscar Romero. And there are others as well in our own time, you know, who get shot, murdered. Malcolm X, yet another figure. So we need not to kind of volatilize that passage. We say, well, Jesus was God, and this is all going to happen. It's all inevitable. No, that's nonsense, rubbish. And a disgrace to anybody who calls himself Christian, I think, who wants to simply evaporate the humanity of Jesus and have it subsumed in his divinity. Well, they didn't figure out Jesus was divine for the next 300 years, so we should not be too surprised that it took them a long time. Okay, and when I was in the seminary, we had Jesuits. A mixed blessing at best. But we were taught to meditate a la modo Jesuitico, which means somebody would come into the chapel the night before, give us points for meditation, stuff to think about. And then you're supposed to say in the next half hour the next morning, thinking about those points. Well, I never felt at home with that. My spirituality is much more Benedictine than Jesuitical. But there is something to that Jesuit method, and millions of Jesuits have been trained in it. They ask you, Ignatius asked his followers, to say, put yourself in a scene in the gospel. And then think about that. Pray over that for half an hour. It was not a bad idea. So I bring this up because I asked the question, whom would you find yourself most familiar with in the Passion narrative? Who is most familiar? Who is most easily recognizable as a human being? I think the answer is ready to hand. It's Peter. Peter the coward. Peter the liar. So, you know, we had this little mini parade, you know, hooray, hooray, Jesus is our boy. I'm sure some of those same people were out crying for his, as Jim put it, for his crucifixion. Why? He was a troublemaker. He was unconventional. Not only was he unconventional, he was anti-conventional. Just a kind of footnote. Think about convention. Convention both saves us and strangles us, I believe. They're all things that conventional wisdom says that you should observe. And I think in as many cases as they're helpful, they're hurtful. They constrain us. So when we think about the Passion, what would we have done? So here's the highest authority in the land, the Roman Empire, with all the forces and militaristic strength of the Roman Empire. And here's poor old Jesus, dragged around by a bunch of Roman soldiers. Because it's the Romans who had Jesus killed, the priests and the Pharisees were going to act ancillary figures to the murder of Jesus. But they didn't want to say the Romans did it because the Romans were still in power, and they knew they'd get their heads knocked in by some Roman brute who would come in and knock their heads in if they started accusing the members of the empire. So it is, I think, salutary on this Palm Sunday to ask ourselves the question, where would I fit in that scene? Where would I be? What cause would I be espousing? Knowing all that we know about Jesus. And it's a Lucan Jesus who forgives. None of the other evangelists have this passage about forgiving the so-called good thief. It's a Lucan theme that passes through his whole gospel. In fact, it's been called the gospel of the great forgivenesses. But you can't be forgiven if you don't think you're guilty in the first place. And this is where I fall down. Oh, Trojak, you're all right. You're no better. You're no worse than the other bozos you live with. But I'm using the wrong criterion. Just because I'm indistinguishable from everybody else, from the conventional understanding of things, doesn't mean I'm doing the humanly apt, authentic thing. So I hope this is helpful as we go through Holy Week to think about where we would be, to ask that question, which is a really good question. God love Ignatius of Loyola. Who would I be? Where would I be? With whom do I identify?